Shall we pray? Father, again we ask for your help as we open the Word. Open our hearts to receive it and to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably the verse that Bessie and I have counted on more in the New Testament than any other one would be Matthew 6:33. We've seemed to be forced back to that periodically in our lives. It's probably not our favorite verse, it's just the one we've had to count on more often. But before we get to 6:33, let's start with the 25th verse of Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Well, there are a lot of key words in there that I'd like to dwell on, and I may get some of them mixed up, but some of them are seek, anxious, faith, righteousness, kingdom. First thing we see, that anxiety is opposite to faith. You made a little faith, don't be anxious. These things do not go together. Any kind of anxiety is not faith. Any kind of worry is not trust. But he says, what are you anxious about? Well, you're anxious about certain things that God knows you need. He made you with these needs. And it tells us that you are of much more value than sparrows, and that he's going to see to it that these needs are met. That's part of God's faithfulness to man. But there's another condition on which they are met, and that is faith, and another one is seeking first the kingdom. Now, I know that God doesn't keep from providing because I'm anxious. It just means that when I'm anxious and I'm worrying on my knees and calling it prayer, I end up getting provided for, but not because of my anxiety, but because of his faithfulness. So what I end up doing is being anxious for nothing, for no good reason. I remember years ago, we went through one crisis after another. It was a kind of crisis of what you should eat, what you should drink, what wherewithal should you be clothed. And I won't go into the crises, but in every instance, we worried and worried and called upon the Lord and worried some more, and the Lord provided, always at the last second. In this particular instance, this missionary named Joe Carroll was the means of provision and deliverance, and he said, Jim, you've been anxious about us all the time. I said, yeah. He said, why? He said, did the Lord always provide? I said, he has so far, but he always waits till the last instant before he provides. He said, well, you've got it all backwards. He said, that passage in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then it says, be anxious for nothing. And then it says, by everything pray. He said, that ought, rejoice first, anxious for nothing second, pray third. He said, you've been praying first, anxious second, and rejoicing if the Lord provides. He said, that's backwards. I said, well, it sounds good, but how do you rejoice first? He said, well, if you rejoice first, you won't have any trouble being anxious. And he told me to read Philippians and 2 Corinthians and passages on joy. And as I did, God greatly gave me joy, took away my anxiety, and continued to provide. But this time without the anxiety. I'd like to tell you some of those stories, but I'd like to get on with what this says concerning the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. It says, first, don't seek what you shall eat, what you shall drink, wherewithal you shall be clothed. Now, people who are graduating and going out into profession, that's what you're really looking for. You're looking for a job so you can eat, drink, and be clothed. Now, the Lord tells us that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. So it's not wrong to work. But it's wrong to be anxious. It's wrong to seek these things as primary. The Scripture tells us here that after all these things the Gentiles seek. This is what the world looks for, is primary. It's saying, in effect, therefore, you shouldn't think of them as primary. After all these things do the world seek? Do you want to copy the world? Do you want to go after the world as a means of saying this is primary? You as believers know that God knows you need these things. We find out that seeking first the kingdom is somehow opposite from seeking first clothing, food, and water. Although it's not wrong, it's wrong in priority. If you make this the number one priority, you're going to have a miserable, unhappy life. Let's look at Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God does not mean food and drink. The kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is saying about the same thing in Matthew 6 says. The kingdom of God is not food and drink. But it also tells us what it is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. So when we seek first the kingdom, we seek righteousness, peace, and joy. I suppose there are two great opposites, both of which have a real negative effect on families. One is where material things become primary. Whether the father spends all of his life providing for the children, more and more and more, university education, everything the child wants. The mother spends all of her time cooking and cleaning up and everything else, thinking that this is absolute number one primary. And the child grows up also thinking it's number one primary. And two things happen to a child in a materialistic home. Number one, he thinks that's right and becomes super materialistic. Or two, he rebels against the standard of his parents and says materialism is all wrong and goes into some other kind of thing. But the major thing is the parents lost the child. He either copies the parents, which is bad, in materialism, or he rebels against the parents, which is bad. Materialism is a major means of not reaching your children. But there's another means of not reaching your children, and that is seeking first the kingdom, but with a wrong definition of the kingdom. You say, I'm not materialistic. I am not going to seek what I can eat, drink, and wear. I am going to be out evangelizing all of the time. That's seeking first the kingdom. Well, I don't think the Scripture says that is seeking first the kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. Not out in the harvest field, winning people to Christ. That is not seeking the kingdom. This 2 weeks, in addition to the victories, I've had some major, major disappointments. I called the wife of a founder of a great religious Christian movement. She wasn't at home, but I talked to her son, who's just been back with the Lord a few years. And I asked where she was, and she's a widow now. Well, she's visiting my sister. And one sister has four teenager children and divorced. The other sister divorced. The other brother apparently not doing well either. At one of these conferences, I talked with a man who had 32 years old, been back with the Lord about 6 years. His father's a rather famous missionary in Japan. One of his brothers is living in a drug culture in California, spending his winters in Mexico. One of his other brothers is a bank robber, jumped bail, living in Costa Rica because there's no extradition in Costa Rica. Several other instances like that, this just in these last 2 weeks. And each of these cases, the parents were seeking first the kingdom in their definition of the kingdom. And their definition of the kingdom was Christian work, out spending their time, church work, missionary work, evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. But in the home, there wasn't righteousness, peace, and joy. And the children knew it, and they rebelled against the Lord. Okay, we can seek worldly things. They're obviously worldly. And make the food and drink primary. And lose your children spiritually. You can seek the kingdom in evangelism and lose your children spiritually. The kingdom of God that we're to seek is righteousness, peace, and joy. And where you see righteousness is where you're living, not where you're preaching. And I think that's true with everyone. I know that I always sound more righteous here than I sound at home. It's too bad. It really is too bad. And I think it's true with everyone. But if the disparagement, if the difference is so great that a person in the field is always appearing righteous and losing his children, he's not righteous. If there's no joy and peace at home, he's not seeking first the kingdom. If he's materialistic, he's missing it. And if he's a wrong view of the kingdom, he's missing it. We've talked over the years about priorities. And I came back from this trip still believing that the Lord was first. But the Lord first does not mean his work first. It means the Lord's first. But family is absolutely second. The Lord is first, wife and children second. The ministry is never second. The work is never second. Because when people have identified the church, the work, the ministry, as seeking first the kingdom, they've missed it. When Jesus said the kingdom of God was within you, he didn't mean that the work was within you. He didn't mean the ministry was within you. He meant righteousness, joy, and peace was within you. Now, this is very difficult when you are in some sort of ministry to sort it out. When you want to spend time with your family and you get an emergency telephone call, say, sorry, family first, ministry third. No, you probably don't do that. But if your emergency phone calls or your sense of emergency or the person's sense of emergency were happening, these things were happening one after the other, so you never had time with your family, that's right, the work would definitely be wrong. I suppose it's probably the greatest difficulty in making decisions when you've identified the work with the kingdom instead of that righteousness and joy and peace with the kingdom. You know, when it says, seek ye first the kingdom, seek righteousness and peace and joy first, Well, first it tells us first. Second, it says seek it. Well, seeking, I don't know how you look at it. Seek has a stronger sense than just looking for something. I lost a set of keys a few weeks ago, and I really ought to have them. But I haven't sought them. I just sort of hope they'd turn up. That's not seeking. Seeking means diligently going after. It's the story of the woman who lost the silver coin. She ripped the house apart and swept every corner until she found it. Okay, do you go after the kingdom in that way? Now, again, this is not the ministry. Do you seek righteousness like ripping the house apart and sweeping every corner? Is righteousness that primary to you? If you seek righteousness within yourself and within your family, there are certain things that are going to be automatic. The joy and the peace are automatic results of righteousness. If you don't have the joy and peace, I think you didn't seek the righteousness. Peace, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, saying we're made righteous, we have peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Peace is a result of righteousness. So when we seek diligently righteousness. All right, now, again, this idea of righteousness, I suppose there is a difference between righteousness and holiness. And I've made this difference. Now, whether it's a real true difference, I don't know. I've always defined righteousness as if a little boy fell in a mud puddle. In fact, I remember having done that one time out at my grandmother's farm after a heavy rain, and there's a great big mud puddle in the driveway, and I went out to play in the mud puddle and fell headlong in it. Came back, and I remember, to my great embarrassment, my mother just stripped me in the sunshine and hosed me down. And I didn't like this public display of my, just greatly embarrassment. But anyhow, that's how I define righteousness. Something that's filthy, that's made clean, but ends up clean. Holiness is as the little kid that didn't fall in a mud puddle. I had an older brother who never got dirty, and I always got dirty. He was holy, I was righteous. Holiness is where you stay away from sin, and righteousness where you're in it and made clean. But in any case, you end up clean. Well, that might not be the real definition of the. But righteousness is cleanliness in the sight of God. And the Bible speaks of it as imputed righteousness, righteousness which God gives us that we didn't deserve, that we didn't earn. And it says we can seek it, go after it, want it very badly. And God gives it to us. And with this righteousness, love and joy and peace. Now, if you don't have the love and joy and peace, then you probably don't have the righteousness, and you better start seeking. But seeking out in the kingdom, out in the work, is not really doing it right. If I seek first the kingdom in terms of righteousness, joy, and peace, and I'm out in the work, then people see my righteousness, people see my joy, people see my peace, and people will probably come to the Lord. But if I really have righteousness, joy, and peace, it'll also show at home. And when it shows at home, my children also want to be righteousness and walk in that joy and that peace. And if your children are not walking in that righteousness, joy, and peace, it's probably because I got a misview of seeking first the kingdom. Now, I wish that I could see a whole lot of people doing that seeking first the kingdom in this view of the kingdom. But I see more people either being materialistic or centered in works in terms of evangelism or church work. Now, I'm not saying it's not the will of God to be in that, but boy, it certainly isn't seeking first the kingdom. When I seek first this kingdom, as I described it, this righteousness, joy, and peace, I will find out that I am not anxious. My faith increases. I don't take thought for what I shall eat, what I shall drink, and what I shall wear. But if I am out in the ministry, out in the work, I find out I can be in the work and materialistic at the same time. I can be taking thought what I shall eat, what I shall drink, what I shall wear at the same time out in the ministry. But if I am seeking first the kingdom in terms of righteousness, joy, and peace, I don't have the anxiety. I am trusting and God provides, and I am seeing fruit in terms of people coming to the Lord. But we are a mechanistic group of people. In other words, we think in terms of methods. We think in things, terms of things to do. We either go get this job, which means a good salary, or we go get this job, which means missionary work. And we think that somehow this one's opposite to this one, and it may not be. It may be really the same thing, neither one of which is seeking first the kingdom. Now, what made me dwell on this is just seeing so many, many people who are out in the ministry, apparently not materialistic, but certainly not seeking first the kingdom. A few years ago when I called Joe Winston when he was still in his commune, and he was very bitter on the telephone. And one of the things he told me, he said, I do not know a Christian leader in the world whose children aren't messed up. Well, it was a hard point to argue because I could think of many, many, and I mentioned a few this morning. And the best thing I could come up with was a weak little argument that they weren't all messed up. Just most of them. And I did tell him that, and I felt a little funny about it because my children aren't all grown up yet. I told him that mine weren't messed up. But boy, observation and statements like that really keep me running scared. That the kingdom is qualitative, not work. The kingdom has to do with what you are. We should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Just our being is praising the glory of His grace, not what we do. And the children see what we are, not what we're doing. And if we're doing one thing and we are something else, they're not stupid. And they begin to think that this Christianity is somehow not real. You talk one thing, do one thing in public, and you're something else at home. I would say that our greatest need is the integrity of the family in this country, the wholeness of the family. So when we reach university students here, they come to Christ. The thing we teach them and the thing we share with them is that their family is number one. Father and mother, brothers and sisters are number one, more important than the evangelism of the rest of the dormitory. And as I hear of these situations, I think it's so number one in terms of reaching that I'm willing to go after those strays, but not at the expense of my own family. So I did tell this brother. He got rid of his bitterness. And I told him I really thought he ought to go to Costa Rica. But if I said, for some reason you can't go, I'll be glad to go. and find that brother down there to bring the family back together. Because in the meantime, regardless how apparently effective this missionary is in Japan, he just isn't that effective. And according to the word, I don't think he's going to get well done, good and faithful servant, when his family's all messed up here in the States. In fact, according to the scripture, he probably shouldn't be a missionary. I was mentioning this to Bessie last night. She said there wouldn't be many missionaries if you weren't allowed to be a missionary because your family's not doing right. But I believe with my whole heart the ones that would be left would be doing great, great work for the Lord. Because people would see their righteousness, joy, and peace. Earlier in that sixth chapter of Matthew, where it tells us how to pray, it gives us the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, how do you think? It says you're praying that the kingdom will come to this earth, that his will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. Now, how do you think it's done in heaven? Like that. I like the 115th Psalm where they said, "Where is your God?" And the psalmist says, "Our God's in the heaven. He does whatever he wants to." I think that's wonderful. God just does whatever he pleases. That's how his will. And so does everybody else do whatever he pleases up there. And that's when we're praying that his will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. And whatever God pleases, that's what we do. That's righteousness. And with it will be joy and peace. I was talking with a father yesterday. He'd come to see me. He said he wouldn't be at the Grange this morning. He'd come to see his daughter graduate. Seemed to be a fine Christian man. Told me about how his children were walking with the Lord, except the youngest. And I finally asked him if he'd like some advice. He said, yes, he would. So one of the things you can tell that youngest daughter is that you were wrong. He said, well, she didn't want to go to church. And she didn't want to go to church and kept not wanting to go. And finally just got very rebellious, senior year in high school or something. I said, well, tell me. I said, what was the church like? Oh, a real fundamental church. Real solid church. I said, well, was the pastor easy to listen to? He preached the truth. I said, no, I mean, how did you like to listen to him? Well, it was a little rough sometimes. A little hard listening. So do you think your daughter knew that? You thought that pouring light on somebody made people see. But pouring light on people when their eyes are closed doesn't ever make anybody see. I said, one of the things you can do is tell your daughter that you are wrong. And another thing you can do is you can start spending more time loving her unconditionally. He said, yes, I guess my love's been conditional. But he left thanking me very much. Now, I think it'll work. But we've made the ministry, the church, the work synonymous with righteousness. And it just isn't so. Synonymous with the kingdom. And it just isn't that so. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you very much for the scriptures and what you do through them in our lives. We pray that we'd believe them and obey them. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.